The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you may have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, 7:30. Welcome back once again, everybody. And I can also say to you this morning, not just welcome back, but I can also say to you, Happy New Year to everybody. Why can I say Happy New Year to everybody? Because those of you who are astute and with it and have heard me make this joke in years past, right? You know that we're beginning today the season of Advent, and that Advent is a brand new year in our church calendar. My favorite season of the year, Advent. And we hear a whole new cycle of readings starting today. This year, we're going to hear from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Right? My favorite gospel, Luke is. Luke's the storyteller of the New Testament. Luke's the one who tells us all of Jesus' greatest parables. Parable of the prodigal son, parable of the good Samaritan. Luke's also the only one who tells us about the Blessed Mother. He's the only one. He tells us about the annunciation of the angel Gabriel or the visitation to her cousin Elizabeth. Luke's the only gospel to tell us the story of Christmas, right? I'm really looking forward to this year's readings for the Gospel of Luke. And I love the season of Advent, my favorite season of the year. Let me tell you why, right? Advent is the season in which we prepare for the coming of the Lord. And that is something I think is woefully neglected and desperately needed, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Here's why. God knocks at the door of your heart 1,000 times a day. 5,000 times a day. And I think most of us answer or even hear him, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times. And we miss him again and again and again. And why? I tell you, it's because we don't prepare. Right? So Advent's a season in which we prepare for the coming of the Lord. But that's kind of a mysterious idea, right? So let me try to explain a little bit. There's 3 ways in which the Lord comes into the world. 3 ways. The first is the obvious one, right? He's already come in history. We're not pretending Jesus hasn't been born yet. We all know he was born in Bethlehem, and he grew up in Nazareth, and he was crucified and died, and came back from the dead, and ascended into heaven, okay? So we already know he's come that first way. But the second way, something we mention every time we say the creed, he's coming again at the end of time. Just as he's ascended up into the heavens, so will he come back again. I was talking to a man recently who said, "I hope when Jesus Christ comes again, that he comes like the humble carpenter of Nazareth. Because I would love to see this humble, unassuming man stand there and speak pure truth and knock over the powers of the world." I'd love to see that too, right? But when Jesus comes again, it's not going to be like that. The scriptures are really clear on this. When he comes again, nobody's going to miss it. He's going to come riding on the clouds of heaven, right? But there's a third way that the Lord comes. And in my opinion, this is the one that matters to us the most and the one we want to focus on in Advent. He comes to every human heart. And he knocks, and only you can let him in. That's the coming, I think, above all else, that we want to prepare for. And every Advent, first Sunday of Advent, we hear the strangest readings. First Sunday of Advent, we always hear these apocalyptic readings, like you just heard here, you know, from Luke. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and nations will be in dismay. And the sea and the waves will roar, and people will die from fright, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Doesn't exactly get you in the holiday mood, does it? Right? Okay, why do we hear these things? Well, I'll tell you, I heard an explanation this week. Best explanation I've ever heard from, I mentioned Bishop Robert Barron before. But I've been reading this all my life, and it's never been as clear as his explanation, so I got to share his explanation with you, and here it is. When these readings talk about the end of the world, and there's lots of them in the New Testament, if the only thing they talk about is the end of the world, then these readings are only valuable to that one generation that lives through those events, whenever that's going to be, and I'm not expecting it for 1,000 years. But they're only valuable to one generation, and that can't be true. They're valuable to every generation that lives. And here's how. Every time Jesus Christ comes, it's like an apocalypse. Every time Jesus Christ comes into the world, an old world ends, and an entirely new world begins. Consider the first time our Lord came. Born in Bethlehem, you know, that little child born in straw poverty toppled mighty Caesar Augustus and all of his armies. Didn't happen immediately, right? Didn't unfold right away, but an old world ended and a whole new world began. The whole world changed and history turned on a dime. We measure all of our years from the year of his birth, the most consequential life that's ever been lived. It was, in a sense, the shaking of the heavens and the earth. You don't need me to tell you. When he comes again at the end of time, all I can say is look busy, because he's going to be coming this time not as the Savior. He's going to be coming as the judge the next time he comes, right? And nobody's going to miss it. But here's the thing. When he comes into your life, spiritually speaking, even today, you'd be a fool to think it's any less revolutionary. And it shakes the heavens and the earth. So you hear this, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars, they're going to be shaken. You go back to the original audience that would have heard this. And what were the sun and the moon and the stars to a first century Jew living in the ancient world? Well, that was how you told where you were in the world, and that's how you measured your days. The sun and the moon and the stars were your fixed points that helped you get through life. Right? So you want to tell what time it is. What do you do when you're living in the ancient world? You don't check your digital watch or look for your atomic clock or bust out your iPhone. You tell the time by the sun in the sky, right? And the moon marks the months. And how do you find your way around when you're navigating? Before there's GPS, you tell by the stars in the sky, right? They're the fixed points by which you make your way through the world. Well, here's the thing. We all have fixed points in our lives by which we make our way through life. We're all, every last one of us here, your priest included, we're making our way through this world by certain fixed points, guiding stars, so to speak. You want to know what they are in your life? Try to ask yourself some penetrating questions, right? What gets you out of bed in the morning, other than the alarm clock, right? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What gives you hope? What breaks your heart? What inspires you? What are your dreams? What are your heartbreaks? What are your hopes? What are you living for? What are you yearning for? What are your greatest goals? If you can answer those questions,
you'll know what your fixed points are in your life. For some people, it's the acquisition of money. They're trying to get an even larger stock portfolio. They want to acquire more and more wealth. For somebody else, it's growing their business. For somebody else, it's fitting in, being popular, going with the times, being the life of the party. For somebody else, it's being in charge, being the big cheese, being the big fish, the one who makes all the calls. Whatever it might be, everybody lives their life by fixed points. And when our Lord comes, those fixed points get shaken. It's an apocalypse, right? The stars that you've used to guide your life fall from the sky, and the Lord becomes the guiding star, the light of the world. He becomes the light of your life, and the only thing that matters is doing His will with all of your heart, and everything else in your life takes its meaning in relationship to Him. That's the apocalypse. That's what happens when the Lord comes. Think about it for just a moment. You're like, you take somebody, and you know, maybe their fixed point in life is making money, and they want to amass even more wealth. And Jesus Christ comes into their life. What does our Lord say? He says, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. What does our Lord say? He says, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what happens? An old world ends and a whole new world begins. It's an apocalypse in that person's life. Maybe, you know, the most important thing in your life is being popular. Maybe it's being the life of the party. Maybe it's fitting in. Then you hear our Lord speak, and what does our Lord say? Blessed are you when all will hate you and insult you and revile your name as evil falsely, and all because of me. Rejoice and be glad on that day, because your reward will be great in heaven. And an old world ends and a whole new world begins. And you know, some people, they want to climb the ladder and they want to be the big fish and they want to be even more important than the next guy. And then Jesus Christ hits their life. And what happens? What does our Lord say? He says, the last will be first. And the greatest among you is the one who serves the rest. And the stars fall from the sky and your fixed points get shaken. Our Lord becomes the fixed point every single time. And you want to know what else? This even holds true for the good things in your life. It all takes its meaning in relation to Him. Like, you can find people, they'll say, tell you, the most important thing in my life is family. I live for my family. Great. But even that is not as great as God. God always comes first. What does our Lord say? Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And an old world ends and a whole new world begins every single time. There was a book published by a professor up at Boston College. His name is Peter Kraft. And it's called Jesus Shock. I tell you, I read the book just because of the title. Jesus Shock. You want to know what the book said? It said, every time you meet the Lord, you get shocked, right? If you haven't been burned by the fire of His presence, then you haven't even met the Lord yet. Because the one person in history who was never boring was Jesus Christ. People who speak about Him are very boring, right? You get priests who stand up here in pulpits and they give homilies, and it can be deadly boring, send you to an early grave. But Jesus Christ is the only one who was never boring. And, you know, it's because He's so revolutionary that He's so easy to miss. And here's what Advent's about. And our Lord says here in the Gospels, don't let your hearts become drowsy through carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. And here's the subject of a whole other homily someday. But there's two things that keep you from hearing the Lord's voice. Two things: sin and anxiety. Sin deadens your mind to know His truth, deadens your will to want to choose His will, and anxiety. Like, more people get trapped up by worrying about things they can't change and things that do not ultimately matter. And our Lord is peace, and they never hear His voice because they're so consumed by worry. Don't let it happen to you. This is what we do during Advent. We prepare for our Lord's coming. First time He came, changed the whole world. Second time the Lord comes, you don't need me to tell you, it's going to upend everything. But be watchful and be ready to welcome Him when He wishes to come into your life right now. And welcoming Him into your life right now is what Advent is all about.